I'm so glad you're here this morning. And really, this is a good day. Every time we open the Word of God, it is good because we're going to hear what God thinks. And this morning, I want to talk to you about giving your money away. I just saw everybody's frown take over. I'm going to talk about money. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Do you remember when you were in bondage? You may not have lived in Egypt, but you were in the same shape, the same situation before you got born again. You were in bondage. You may have been religious. You may have been what everybody would consider a good person, but inside you were lost, without hope, without God. And God delivered you when you got born again. Remember that day? Verse 3 says, thou shalt have... Look at that. Kind of exclusive. It's kind of absolute, isn't it? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor... What's the next two words? Serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. You need to underline those words. God is jealous. Just as you would be if you were married to somebody and that person never spent any time with you. They spent time with everybody else. Spent time with on the internet. They spent time with the buddies. Or they spent time with the girlfriends. And they never spent any time with you. God says, I'm a jealous God. I purchased you. I bought you out of slavery and made you free. But I didn't expect you just to go running off. He said, don't serve other gods, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. And he gets serious. He says, visiting the iniquity of idolatry by the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. And I'll show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So the very first commandment is no other gods. Don't bow down to them and don't serve them. Would you say that Ireland is in a state where we are made to serve some gods? We are in bondage to serve the EMF, the IMF, the UFF, and GBF, and all the other things that they come up with in order to get your money. We're serving debt. And I want to talk to you about money. Did you know the Bible has a lot to say about money? And I'm only going to show you four scriptures here to start us off. Proverbs 13:22. We've got a lot of scriptures to look at this morning, so I'm going to look at a few of them here at the beginning. A good man leaveth an inheritance, not just to his kids, but to his children's children. That's his grandkids, amen? A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the godly person, for the just person, the person who lives right. The unsaved, you know, you go off and drink and smoke, you're dying early. Amen? You go off and you fool around and you get with every girlfriend, boyfriend out there, and all of a sudden you're going to find out, 50 years old, you're dead. It's not just your cholesterol. Sin kills you. And it ends up being there for somebody who's living right. Amen. They get to reap the benefits. Here's Proverbs 21:20. It says, there is a treasure to be desired, an oil in the dwelling of the house. Now, I don't know why people, you know, let me just rephrase that. People in the Western world have no concept of oil, but if you lived in the desert, you would really appreciate oil because it would go into your scalp and just soothe the heat, cracked skin of your scalp, of the skin of your arms after being out working all day. Oil is very important. We're talking about body oil. And it says there's treasure to be desired. And oil that's stored up and there for the rainy days and for the important times. In the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man will do what? He'll spend up every penny. That's a fool. Live from week to week, from paycheck to paycheck, never have any money to save. Bible also says in Proverbs 22, verse 7, says, the rich ruleth over the poor. Now, it doesn't condone it. It's just a fact, don't they? They control. And the borrower is servant to the lender. You ever have to have borrow money? You're their slave until you finish paying it off. Matthew 6:24 says, ye cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon's a word. It just means you cannot serve God and serve the love of money. You can't do it. It's impossible. A lot of people try. They try to be religious. and they find out that that money becomes something that you worry about, you cater to, and your life is wrapped up in. You know what? Your life better, you better be worried about what God thinks. You better be wrapped up in the life that He wants you to live. That's the only thing to worry about instead of the economy. Now, why does the Bible talk so much about money? You know, shouldn't it just talk about heaven? When we read the Bible, shouldn't we just read about peace and love and getting along with our fellow man? Well, maybe if you're in the 1960s doing drugs, that's all you'd want to talk about. The Bible has a lot to talk about, everything of importance. You know, the Bible answers some serious questions like, whose money is it in any way in your pocket? Is it my money? Are you sure about that? Whose money is it that's in your pocket? The Bible answers the question, who's actually taking care of you and me every moment of the day? You think, well, I got myself out of bed. You didn't make your heart beat. You didn't make yourself breathe. Your brain's only function because God gave you that thing. And you need to take a step back and realize everything you got, somebody gave you. Now, you work for it, amen, and you ought to earn things. But God gave you the health so that you could earn some things. Who's the one keeping you, holding you together? You know, if your car works, if it works, God's holding it together, amen. Amen. The third question the Bible asks is, what can our money reveal? You know what it reveals? What we really love and who we really love. A lot of people bow down and worship their money. They did it for the last 8 years here in Ireland. And it bit them back, didn't it? Bit them back. Your attitude towards money reveals where your heart is. Now, I want to say that giving away money works. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17. Proverbs 19 and verse 17 says this. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto who? See, that word doesn't say you're giving unto God. Does God need anything? You're not giving unto God. God doesn't need your money. All right? You're lending unto the Lord. And that which He hath given, will He pay Him again? God says, you lend that to me, I'll make sure you get it back. Amen. Now, I don't go up, try to find me a statue and put 20 euros in the hand of the statue of Jesus or of Mary or something like that. That's not real. But when I give to somebody who's in need, God says, I watched that, I noticed that, I'll pay you back. The Lord pays you back. So there's no strings attached when it comes to giving money away. God doesn't need our economies. He doesn't need good jobs. He doesn't even need good banks, thank God, in order to get His people through hard times. God can take care of us. You better write that down in the front of your Bible. God can take care of me, and He can. What He's looking for are some faithful, hardworking, yes, but some faithful, humble believers who will believe and trust God about everything, including their money. You know, it's a good thing to trust God for health problems. Amen? You're running your kids to the hospital there, you better pray. Amen? Your car's not working, it's time to pray. I was on a bridge, you know, the Verrazano's Bridge in upstate in New York. You run out of New York City, and you want to get out of this as fast as you can, you go north, and you go across this. It's about 3.5 mile long bridge, and it's always bumper to bumper. I'm driving that thing, and this was years ago, and my car died. Now, there's four lanes on your side, and there are four lanes of cars on the other side, maybe three, I don't remember. And they're all just going real slow, and my car stops. And you might as well just jump off the bridge, because everybody behind you wants to shoot you or blow your car up, move you out of the way, and then my car. It's all of a sudden you want to get Pentecostal that moment. You just want to lay hands on the car, amen, and say, God, get going. Get this car going. There are times when you need God, amen. But you know, listen, we forgot that we need God in our finances, too. He doesn't rain pennies out of heaven. You wouldn't take them. You'd be waiting for 20-euro bills, by the way. What He does is, however, He takes care of us, and we need to learn to trust Him for money. Christians, and I want to say this, Christians need to get back to getting used to giving money away. Just giving it away. You say, that's crazy. No, it works. It works because what happens is we get back to believing and obeying God. And what I'm going to teach you this morning is, I mean, we're a church, and a church doesn't exist free. Salvation's free, isn't it? Costs God everything. But these lights cost, this room costs, free Bibles that we hand out, this youth camp that we're doing, everything costs. Where's the money going to come from? Not from the government. We don't write and get an entitlement. Government's paying too much money out, and that's why it's in the state it's in. It needs to stop just catering to a bunch of lazy people. Amen. And it needs to get back to just, listen, there's some things that the government's supposed to be for, and they need to cut back and do that well. And the rest of us, we've got to work. We've got to make the money. We've got to pay the bills. And the government shouldn't be reaching in a pocket, out of both pockets, and taking every penny we own so that we can get entitlements. No, we take care of ourselves. That's how a Christian operates. Now, giving money away, this is crazy. See, what are you talking about? It's the opposite of the world says. The opposite of what your own flesh is. The flesh says, give me, give me, give me. Remember Christmas? Oh, it's what I'm going to get, what I'm going to get. But all of a sudden when you get saved, it's what am I going to give? What am I going to give? Something happens when a person gets born again. And when we start obeying God and believing God, it works. Secondly, it works because we're thinking of others. When Jesus left heaven, was he making a profit? He lost everything. He's a giver. You know, when you think of others, and yet he benefits, doesn't he? See, I wouldn't be here if he didn't first love, if he didn't first give, if he didn't first sacrifice, I wouldn't be saved. So he gets, but he's thought of me, amen? So we think of others. It works because we think of others. And thirdly, we put God first at the top of the list instead of our leftovers. You know, I'm a dad, and my job, my number two or number three job in the home is to eat what my kids don't. Well, I got old. You go out to eat. I mean, you pay good money for the food, and the kids only eat half of it, amen? I mean, they've got good food on that plate. Guess who's going to eat it, amen? I paid for it. I'm eating it, you know. But you know, God's not that way. God doesn't deserve our leftovers. He's the first bill we pay, amen? He's the first thought we have. He's not the last. Oh, I better pray. How about doing it first? So giving money away works. Now, God has given us a vision as a church. Three things to grow. I mean, we had all those kids in here. Now it's kind of comfortable, all right? Kind of quiet, too, amen? But I love the noise. I love the singing, amen? But you know what? We're bulging. We're at the limit. So shouldn't we grow? Amen. I mean, sin's out there growing, isn't it? The devil's spreading his kingdom. It's time for us to grow. So we have a vision of growth. I want to buy a building. Of ministry. Those kids are worth it, aren't they? Amen. Now, there's nobody who in this church, I mean, none of those teachers get paid. They're all volunteers. But all the materials. In fact, it'll cost us, at the end of this day, it'll cost us 50 euros for that other room over there. It costs us 50 euros for this room in here. It costs money for us to have church. I'd much rather be putting that into our own building than putting it in another man's pocket. So ministry, God has given us a vision of serving, being a blessing to other people. Thirdly, of a world that needs the gospel. You know, can you imagine going to a door and invite someone out to church? Hi, I'd like to come to our church. Yes, and that'll be 50 euros, please. Ah, that's my petrol for coming here. That's my time. It's very valuable. And that leaflet, we do stuff for free, amen? I mean, there's no mention of money ever. Sacrifice. It's us doing stuff for others. And it's doing it because people need the gospel, and it's going to be out of our pockets. It's going to be us going. You know, the world was never commanded to go to church. Did you ever notice that? There's no command in the Bible. Check it from cover to cover. There's no, thou shalt go to church. It's a good thing to go to church. But the command is, Christians, the church, go to the world. Take some free Bibles with you. Take a God of Wonder CD or DVD there. But the free Bibles aren't free. Amen? Somebody got to pay for them. That's why there's a little price tag on them. You pay for them, then give them away. Amen? You say, oh, that's the opposite. Somebody's got to pay for it. Amen. Now, there's some great examples. I want to teach you a little bit about what I've learned about giving. I want to show you how to give and show you that we're not Christian if we're not giving. We're not Christian. We're not Christ-like. You may be saved, going to heaven, amen. But if you're not giving your money away, you're not like Jesus. Father, please bless this time. God is a church. We're going to be dealing with another God here. God that we keep very tightly in our pocket. We protect, we hide from the tax man. Revenue doesn't know about accounts and things because we're protecting what's important to us. Father, we've made some things too important. And you're a jealous God, and we're sorry. We're sorry that we give so much attention to the stocks. We worry, we complain about banks and Lord, there's been some awful things that have happened here in Ireland, all over the world, because of some stupid people. God, we got to get over it. That money's gone. The money we have right now, we need to make sure it belongs to you. So that every investment that we make, everything we do, actually works instead of goes into oblivion. So the Lord, ultimately, so you get all the glory. Forgive us where it's all for us, where every bit of We keep our money for our entertainment and for our pleasure. Help us to be givers. Lord, that's what Christians are. I pray you make us into that today. Lord, teach us about how much you gave. Remind us, Lord, this isn't a time of extraction. This isn't a time where we're squeezing blood out of a turnip. Lord, just convert us, change us into givers, please. Joy of giving. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'll show you three examples real quick. John 3:16. Gospel of John, go to John 3:16. I mean, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Mentions giving, amen? John 3 and verse 16. And it puts a word right with the word give. God so what? Love. You know, you can give without love, but you can't love without giving. Did you get that? You can give. I mean, every time you give to the revenue, you don't smile. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. God so loved the world that he gave. Did he give a 50-euro note? Did he give 100? I've seen a 100-euro note once. Never seen a 200. I know there are 500-euro notes. I've seen them in pictures. Never seen him in hand. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's more than I would ever give. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's the price. But have everlasting love. God's a great giver. Wouldn't you agree? He's a very great giver. He gave himself. He gave us everything we have. Do you ever hear the word forgave? Forgave? That means that you give ahead of their worth. To forgive is to give beyond what they deserve. Did you get that? That's what it means to forgive, means to pro-give or give more than they deserve. Somebody does you wrong, says something, takes advantage of you, hurts you, and then Jesus asks you to forgive them. When you forgive, you're giving them a benefit. You are paying what they owe you yourself out of love. And they walk away without ever having to pay a penny. That's forgiveness. And yet God did that for us. You know, don't you dare go to your house and go, this is my house. Don't you say, I'm driving my car. Don't you pull out of your wallet my money or look at your children and say, this is my child. You're a trustee. God gave you those kids. I know you think they're accidents. I know you really believe in evolution. They're a gift from God. And that husband of yours, that wife of yours, are the greatest gift of your life next to Jesus Christ. They're a gift. You're a trustee of them. You can't throw them away. I know you'd like to. But you're a trustee. Do you know you don't even possess salvation? Think about this, Kathy. You don't possess salvation. Jesus Christ, whose life in him was life. Amen? Life possesses you. Is that cool? See, you don't even own salvation. Salvation owns you. That's how good it is. God's a great giver. Amen. We've got another example. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, way to the right. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I like the word grace. Grace is that attitude that just wants to give. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became what? That through his poverty, that ye through his poverty might be rich. I think that's amazing. Do you know every time Jesus, everywhere Jesus went, he gave to everyone that asked of him. Amen? There wasn't a time where he went, no, that's for me. No, I'm busy with it. No. Every time somebody needed something from Jesus, he gave it. He loved giving. It was in his nature, wasn't it? He's a great giver. He supplied tax money for Peter. I've been praying ever since. He gave bread to 20,000 people in one day and 15,000 people another day. He's a giver. You know, in the Old Testament, Jesus gave manna to mean and a half people for 40 years. And they were the most cantankerous, the most complaining, the most stubborn, hard-headed people, and yet he kept giving them. Giving and giving. He gave them water from a rock in the desert. Jesus Christ is a giver, amen. Go to Luke chapter 21. Gospel of Luke chapter 21. We can learn a lot about giving from people who have no money at all. I'm talking to you. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 and verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men. Luke 21, verse 1. He saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. They had a big box there. Now there, it was a huge box because thousands of people would come in there. Ours is a little green one over there, amen? And he saw a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. Now a mite is like the eighth of a penny. And she put in two coins, these tiny little coins. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. How is that possible? I mean, these guys were throwing in solid gold coins and throwing in money that was just, you know, it was thousands and thousands and thousands of euros worth. And he says, she put in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance. You see, they had leftovers. They had a few bob that they could throw in there compared to her. And all these of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury, her poverty, hath cast in all the living that she had. Nobody else going to take care of her. Nobody else. She had no entitlements, no retirement. She had nothing. And the last two penny coins that she had, she put in there and says, God, that's for you. I just love you. That's beyond me, man. She didn't walk away going, I'm doomed. She said, amen. I'm going to learn, I'm going to show you that if Jesus Christ resides in you, if you have the Holy Spirit of God, there is joy when you give. She didn't walk away going, I'm doomed, I'm going to starve. She knew God was going to take care of her. As a widow. Do you know your new nature is a giving nature? When you get born again, you get a brand new life. You still have a selfish, stinky. Let me put that one in there. You still have a selfish, stingy, discontented nature. I mean, you look out and go, oh, it's so hot. I want to slap you. Come on. Oh, it looks like it's going to rain. Oh, this. Oh, we're discontent. You still have that attitude once you get saved. But when you got born again, you invited the Holy Spirit of God into your life. And he's not the spirit of taking. He's the spirit of giving. He doesn't hoard. He doesn't take from others, doesn't take advantage of others. He gives. Gives his money away. Gives everything. You have a new nature. Let me talk to you about a real powerful list of how a Christian gives. And if you'll take your Bible, turn to Malachi. You're in Luke, go to Matthew, and then one book before Matthew is Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, in verse 8. I'll show you how a Christian gives. I know how some of you give. I mean, this is how some of you give. It's like this. There's a song there in the hymnal, "I Shall Not Be Moved." And it's a good song until you sing it the wrong way. And it's this attitude, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I'll sit right here and clench my stinking wallet. I shall not be moved. That's how some people come to church. They're going, "You're not making me move." That's not Christian. Look at Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. It says right here, it says, "Will a man rob God?" That's kind of a crazy thing to think you can rob God. "Yet ye have robbed me," God says. "But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" God replies, "In tithes and offerings." You're cursed with a curse now. "For ye have robbed me." You haven't just robbed the government, or you haven't robbed your boss. You've robbed me, even this whole nation. He's talking to a whole group of people. "So bring ye all the," what's the new word here we're learning? "Tithes." Not a tie, but a tithes. "Into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." You bring the tithes in to the storehouse. So Christians, first of all, give obediently as a choice. It's what you choose to do. And this is where it all begins. I can show you, and we will. I'll talk about all the blessings. Did you know God mentioned a blessing? God said, "I will pour you out a blessing you won't be able to contain." Isn't that right? But you know, he doesn't say, "Oh, if you want a blessing, then tithe." He says, "Revise." He reverses it. He says, "Tithe, and then I'll show you what kind of blessing." See, some people, we're all show me people. We say, "Show me first. Motivate me," you know. But a Christian gives because we made a choice. Don't tithe because there's a blessing. Don't you dare say, "Well, I'm putting in 50 euros today. There better be 200 in my pocket by next week." Mm-mm. We tithe because God said to. See, some of us say amen, not because we get a good feeling and we get a great blessing and there's electricity in our bones because we've tithed. We just do it because we obey. To tithe is to give the first 10%. Some of you would be embarrassed showing your wallet all open full of money. But a tithe is 10%. To give the first 10% of our income to God's storehouse. That's our local church. There are people always asking for money. There are people on the television looking for money. There are some of those are good causes or things. But the Bible says, "Bring you all the tithes into my storehouse, that there be meat in my house." What are we learning this month? We're learning about the church, that the Bible says, the house of God, the church of the living God. This is his house, amen? Now, we're not talking about the building and the structure. We're talking about the people. The tithe is the first 10%. It's the first bill we pay, never the last. Did you know if you wait to pay your tithe, you'll never have enough money? Ever. But I have found, and I've had to do without a lot. I've had to do without. I've never hurt for it, though. But if you put God first, you'll always have enough. You won't have everything you want. You know, beans and toast can taste pretty good. You know that. Amen. 3 days in a row, add some hot dogs, and you're in heaven. Amen. Come on. It's the first bill we pay. And it's not because you're rich. You know, there are people who say, "Well, I don't have any money." You are a liar. You say, "Well, I don't have any money." You got money. "Well, I don't have as much money as Graham." God didn't say, "Give, you know, 500 euros. He said 10%. So 10% means if you got 30 euros this week. Quick, here's your math. Don't fail me now. You got 30 euros this week. You went around and mowed some grass. You did some extra chores and you got 30 euros. How much is 10% of 30 euros? Huh? 3 euros. Whew. The education system is still at work. Good. Here's a hard one. Dean, you got 12 euros this week. That's all you got. But you earned it. Amen. What's your tithe? Do you know? Billy, do you know? 1 euro 20 cents. Okay. You see, if he got 12 euros and he's got to pay, if he thinks he's got to pay 25 euros, you don't think about the amount. You look at the percentage, you look at the 10%. Say, if you got 1,000 euros this week, don't we all wish? Got 1,000 euros this week, what is the time? 100 euros. And some of you do make 1,000 euros a week. Amen. Nothing wrong with money. It's when you serve money instead of serving God. Amen. When you bow down and worship it instead of spending time with Jesus. We think God only wants money from rich people. No. There are people who say, I'm gambling. I'm going to win 1 million euros. And when I win 1 million euros, I'm giving half of it to Jesus. You're stupid. Do you know, when you win 1 million euros, 40-some-odd% comes right off the top back to the government. And then the rest of it, you won't know how fast you'll have to hire a security guard to protect you. Amen? You won't be able to walk. You'll have to buy a security fence, and you'll have to buy outdoor cameras to watch out for thieves. Don't you tell me. See, if you're not giving now, you won't give then. Amen? You say, well, I'll give when I get money. No. Do it obediently. I mean, if I just sat here and only preached this, Dan, it's enough. Amen? Now I got more points. You're going to get a blessing out of this message, but right now you ought to say amen because it's right to do. Go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Again, some churches have no idea, never have taught about giving. Most churches just give out of get their money out of donations. But the Bible says tithe. So every Christian in this room, you come to this church, you're a member of this church, you're committed to this church, amen? God says there ought to be meat in my house. There ought to be the supplies that are afforded. We ought to be able to buy a building. Folks, we ought to be able to buy that building. But I'll be honest with you, we can't yet. See, what's taking so long? Just a few things, but one of them is we have to prove to the bank that we can afford it. We've got the down payment, but we don't have the monthly income to afford the mortgage. It is very high right now. It's not like it was 3-4 years ago where the government or where the banks were just giving stuff away. We have to convince them that we can afford this. So we have to go over the top. We can't do it yet. But if we all tithe, we could blow them away. We've got a banker who I tolerate. It's hard to love them. And one of these days, I want to sit there in front of him at his desk and sign this document and just smile. And him go, you did it. I didn't think you could. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. Amen. It'll happen because we give obediently. Secondly, Mark chapter 14, we need to give lovingly. Mark chapter 14 in verse 3. Mark 14 in verse 3. It's the last few days of the life of Jesus. He's already done the triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and he's getting ready himself. Nobody's really copping on, but he's going to be crucified in just 3 days. And Monday night, he's in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. And as he sat at meat, he's eating, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard. Very precious. And when it says precious, it means very expensive. And she break the box. She just didn't open the box. This was something that you anointed a body with at the burial. It was so priceless. And it was for a funeral. It was probably for her own funeral. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. I mean, this thing just, this perfume covered him head to toe. And there were some that had indignation. You know what that big word means? Anger. Within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, which sounds like little to you and me, but that's 300 days' wages. It was like a year's work, a year's wages, and it could have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. Let me tell you, why did she so give that priceless gift? Because she loved Jesus. You know, why would anybody put up with somebody else? Put up with their, you know what a pet peeve is, don't you? I know some pet peeves are kind of weird, you know. I've had people come into our home and they'll turn the toilet paper to roll around. That's their pet peeve. It's got to go outward, you know. There are pet peeves about whistling, you know. They can't stand people whistling while they're doing work. Pet peeves, you know. Amen. You know, you got to put up with people sometimes, especially if you're married to them and they snore. Amen. But why put up with things that are hard? Because if you're Christian, because you love the Lord Jesus. Amen. And why give to somebody who's not going to appreciate your gift? Why do we go and set up and have this youth camp? We're going to have, right now we're approaching over 90 people there, and some of them we never see for another year. Why would we do all of this, what the world might say, waste? Why would we give of ourselves and so much money for the Bible clubs, kids whose parents will get mad at us, whose kids will come and then we won't see them again for another year? Why would we do that? Because we love the Lord Jesus. I do it because he said go. Because he said love them. Because he loves them. God so loved the world, I might as well too. Amen. So we do it out of love. You give because you love. If you're going, oh, I'm not putting that money in that box, somebody's not in love today then. Amen. Do it lovingly. Christians give, thirdly, purposefully. Go to 2 Corinthians, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. See, when you give, you're not giving to me. You know I don't make a penny out of this church. My funds are all from the state, so I'm completely taken care of. You're not giving to an organization or to an office or to a building. You're giving to Jesus. And you're giving so that other people can hear about him. And you just love him. You're just showing him that you love him. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. Thirdly, you need to give purposefully. That means you give with a purpose in mind. Chapter 9 and verse 7, it says this. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not what? That's a grudge. Not with a bad attitude. Not grudgingly. I lost my verse here. 9, 7. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Like, I don't want to come in here and say, oh, we need 1,000 euros right now. No. Shouldn't be like that. All right? There may come a time where we're like that, but it shouldn't be how we should operate. For God loveth a what? All right. So God wants us to give purposefully. Now, when we say purposefully, there are three purposes to give your money away. Take your Bible, hold your... you can leave this for a minute. Go to the right and find Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. We're supposed to give to the needs of others, especially of Christians, because they're family, but you meet to the needs of others. There are people, there is a tremendous need and in all over the world, but it starts at home. You know, if a man makes money and he spends all his money on his buddies, or he gives all his money away and he doesn't bring any money home, he's worse than infidel, amen? He better pay the bills at home, wouldn't he, shouldn't he? And so the Bible says, verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. It means take care of people. Meet the needs. You ought to give. You have three purposes for giving your money away: for the needs of others, for the needs of the community. I can't take it. We're going to rush ahead. Job 31 talks about all the needs that are in the world. There's 15 different categories of needs, man. There's food needs. There's emotional needs. You know, there's spiritual needs. People all over the world don't just need bread. They'll starve again tomorrow. You can feed them bread every day. They need the gospel. They need somebody to win those soldiers to Christ so they don't stop the food getting into the country. Amen. We give with a purpose. Go to Haggai. You didn't even know that was in there. It's right next to the book of Hezekiah. No, no such book. Haggai is just before Malachi, just a little bit before Haggai, for Malachi. Find Haggai chapter 1. It's a third purpose to give your money away. It's for the needs of your future as a church. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 4. You ought to put a little star on your Bible that I found this book. I never knew this book was in my Bible. Amen. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 4. Watch what it says. Is it time for you, O ye? He's speaking to the nation of Israel. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house lie waste? Now, there are two different houses. One is their sealed house. You know what a ceiling is, don't you? They had roofed houses. Is it time for you to live in your roofed houses, nice, warm, pleasant houses, while this house lieth waste? I wonder which house he's referring to. The house of God. Verse 5. Well, you've sown much, and you bring in little. Ye eat, but you have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Instead of that, this is what you're like. Something went wrong. You considered only your own needs, and you've never started to consider, you know what? I'm part of a church that's growing. I'm part of a church that ought to be impacting our generation and our community. And I'm just sitting here and just spending all my money on myself. When God gave me my health, God gave me my job, God gave me this money, God gave me a car, and I'm not doing anything back for God. And so you find out that good job, that great car you thought you had, everything falls apart. It's a spiritual law. Bible says you need to say, I need a purpose to meet the needs for the future. We have to plan for the future. As a church, we need to save back money so we can afford things in the future, like a mortgage. Right now, we're not able to do that. We haven't been able to do that all year. And you know I've made little spot remarks trying to say where the money was. I know it's all in your pocket, in your pocket. But I have made a big deal out of this, and this is the month we're talking about the church, and guess what? It's time to talk about money. It's time to say we've got a plan for the future. And some of you are going, I don't have any money. If you put God first, you'll have more. It's a spiritual law. I don't have any money to give you. I can't, there's no bank that you go and all of a sudden you put in 5 euros. Wouldn't it be nice if you could really multiply your money and put a 5 euro note in, and that would come 20? Wouldn't that be wonderful? But God does say that when you purpose to give and you make sure that your eyes are what the Bible calls bountiful, that they're liberal, that they give, God takes care of you. You're never going to lack when you make sure that you have a giving spirit. When you're a getter and a taker, you're going to be a Scrooge and you'll be the most miserable person on the planet. Purposefully give. You realize that we support 9 missionary families at 75 euros a month? You know how we support it? Just out of that green box. And the money goes to them because we get the money. What if we didn't get the money? How do you support somebody with money that's not there? Now, we've never had a time we've never not paid them. But let's say we get this building. I'm talking to you like adults now. Say we get this building, and if we can't pay the bank, how long can that last? We need to give purposefully. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This will cheer you up. Got really depressing there, Kathy, there for a moment. We need to gear cheerfully. Now, we don't take up an offering. You know, we don't have an offering plate that go around. I've seen these guys, they have these poles, and they got these bags, and it's right there going around to everybody. That's their business, man. We don't do that. But I was in a church one. I've only been in one church like this, where when the offering plate was passed, everybody was clapping. Everybody was, woohoo! I mean, that was crazy. But they took this verse, they took it to its logical conclusion. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. We read it already, but I think it's pretty cool. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth not just a giver, but a cheerful giver. I think this is the best part. In Acts 20, verse 35, Jesus said this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I know you don't believe that. I can tell you don't believe it. Because if you believe that it was more blessed to give than to receive, you would have a big smile on your face about giving. You'd be thrilled about giving. Christians enjoy giving. You know, we cheerfully give. If giving your money away doesn't put a smile on your face, then you're backslid. You're just holding your own. You're just treading water. You're not actually enjoying your Christianity, because there is a joy that comes by just being a blessing. And that doesn't mean that you go around and you make a big show out of it. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. It's just you and God knowing that you're giving. And there's a joy that comes about it. Now, I'm not talking about donating. I mean, there are people who put a 2 euro coin in there. That's your donation, amen, unless you only earned 20 euros this week. Amen. If that's all you earned, then amen. But if you just put a few bob in, try that at the super value. Get you 80 euros worth of groceries and throw her a fiver. I mean, be extra generous. Give her a 20 euro note. You know what they're going to do? They're going to grab you by the neck and take you to the ground and pull you back and says, it's 80 euros and 62 cents. Amen. And you'll pay that bill. Don't give donations. Christians give, and they love to do it. Christianity is opposite of the world. Our church needs to love to give. I love to sing, amen? Some of you do too, and it thrills me to come to church and hear the singing here. I love to preach. I love to eat. Come on, amen? I love to go for walks with my family, especially my wife. But I cheer. I love to give. It's not like the end of the world, folks. Come on. Get your hammer out, hit your head, and realize it's a wonderful thing to be able to give. He gave you everything you've got. That leads to another thought here. Give blindly. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, I think God talks about money and everything. It's the exact opposite of what the world does. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms. That's almsgiving. That's charitable giving there. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, when you give, do not sound a trumpet before thee. I mean, can you imagine that? And yet it was happening. People do it all the time. They show off with big checks. They say, this is the amount that we're giving. Oh, look at me. Look at us. Don't sound the trumpet before you're giving, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be seen in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. I like this. You ought to give blindly, without fanfare. Don't draw attention to yourself. I mean, we don't make a big deal. Okay, everybody line up. We're now going to give. Everybody line up for the box. So I'll watch. Okay, Billy's first. Billy gave 13 euros. Who's next? Okay. Dean, he gave €1.20. Who's next? All right. You'll never forget your tithe now, right? That's not how you do it, is it? Can you imagine a church like that? Some of you have heard about churches like that. Christians give blindly. There's no merit in giving. You're not earning your way to heaven. Your money does not buy anything. Your money is out of love. Do you know, if you have to give your wife the checkbook or the credit card to make her happy, something is wrong. You didn't get that. Come on. Well, she gets it every day. I know. But if never mind. We won't go to, I'll have to deal with marriage problems later. Christians give blindly. We just give because it's the right thing to do, whether anyone notices or not. Nobody should know how much you give. Your left hand should know what your right hand is doing when you put it in that box. Or when you go up to somebody and you just put a 20-year-old note in their hand. And they're looking at you and you're gone. Amen. Amen. That's how it works. That's giving. Amen. Somebody's got a car problem. I mean, they ought to get a little envelope there. Amen. I'm saying you. Even if it's just a tenner. And you hear somebody's got car problems. Why don't you just get to enjoying giving money away? You say, I don't have any money. Because you're not a giver. Amen. You don't. I'm going to show you a verse in there. It says, give and it what? Shall be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Give. Be a giving church. Amen. Your neighbor has a problem, go right over and give them your time. It's a blessing when somebody does that to you. Amen. Sacrifices their time. Don't you be the opposite and say, well, I don't have any money. You got something. Do it without anybody giving fanfare. Give blindly. Go to Luke 14. Give sacrificially. You're in Matthew. Go to Luke. Luke chapter 14. This is amazing. The teens got to go to a barbecue last night. And some folks really were a blessing to you. Amen? You ate well? Amen. Had fun? Amen. But you know, if you really want a blessing, and the family that did it just wanted to be a blessing. Amen. But I want you to see how Jesus said this. Luke chapter 14, verse 13. If you take your Bible literally, when thou makest a barbecue, it says feast, but we know what it means. Oh, maybe he is describing teenagers. Call the poor, the maimed, the lame and the blind. No, look at it. When you make a feast. Hannes, I understand now perfectly. No, here's the point. When you make a big feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. God will pay you back. You give to people who can't pay you back. Now look back there in verse 12. When thou makest the dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again. Oh, we must do this next week at our house. That's how come most of us have dinners, is so we can be invited over to their house. Amen. But when thou makest a feast, call those who can never pay you back. Amen. When you give away money, give it to somebody who you know will never be able to pay you back. That's how you give. Am I changing your ways? Amen. Amen. Give sacrificially. Give where it costs you and they can never pay it back. Amen. We're talking about Christian giving. Give. We don't send money to our missionaries to keep them on the field because so that they'll send money back to us, do we? Huh? Well, that was ingrate. We sent them 75 euros last month and we haven't gotten a penny back yet. No. You know, we don't intend to buy land or a building so that it is an investment to sell off later, even though it's wise to try to buy it as an investment. We're not buying it as an investment, are we? We're buying it to have church. We're not saying, well, you know, this one we ought to be able to get 2 million off of in 10 years. Maybe that'll happen, maybe it won't. Our goal is to have church, amen? We need a building. And we give, not because we're going to get money back, but because we give. You know, we just give. And it comes as a sacrifice. It is not a donation. I told you about the chicken and the pig at breakfast. The farmer's coming out there, had the axe. I'm not going to go into too much detail. He's coming out to the farm, and chicken looks at the pig and says, "Whoa, boy, breakfast. Going to have eggs and bacon." The chicken says, "I love breakfast." And the pig goes, "For you, it's a donation. For me, it's a sacrifice." Amen. You know the difference. Some of you can spare a few bob. If you're a Christian, you just love to give. You just give even though it's a sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 9:8. This is probably the most powerful verse in the New Testament for the Christian. 2 Corinthians 9:8. You need to put a star by this. The first most powerful verse for a person who's not saved is John 3:16. Once you're saved, you need to get a hold of this verse. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Look there in verse 6. And we need to give expectantly, if you'll look in verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly, you know, just dribs and jabs, just little bits, shall reap also how? Sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully, just gets it out into the field, talking about planting there, shall reap also bountifully. Therefore, verse 7, comes every man according as he purposes. Hey, if you only want to give a little bit, fine, you're only going to get a little bit back. So let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able. I love that part. To make all grace abound back toward you, that ye always having how much sufficiency? What does sufficiency mean? All you need. Always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. There are enough adjectives in there for you to ponder for a month. God, he's the biggest of all, is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. I think God will take care of you. Amen? If you'll just purpose to be a giver. Amen. Give expectant. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Just after Psalms comes Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 9. Psalm 3 in verse 9. I'm sorry, Psalm. Proverbs 3 in verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Now the government honors everybody with your substance. You know, I don't like liberal politicians. Can I just park here and just hammer for a while? I don't like liberal politicians because they're an oxymoron. Oh, they're liberal with giving, but they come and take my money and give it to somebody else. I want to be able to give it. And I should be a giving. But I don't like it. Would you imagine if somebody came to your house and here's Leo. Hi, Leo. I'm your neighbor. I live down the street. I haven't worked in 3 years, but I need my entitlement. And I was told you have it. You know what Leo say? I no habla inglés. Yeah. See, now, Leo should have the heart to be able to say, listen, let me help you. Let me take care of you. I got a job for you to do. Why don't you cut? I'll pay you 10 euros an hour. Amen. That ought to be Leo's job. And it ought to be honoring who? The Lord with your substance. It's your responsibility to give. The pastor didn't come and take your money and give it to somebody else. You're supposed to be the giver. But here's the point. Back there in chapter 3 and verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance, with what you own. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. You got paid wages this week? That's your increase. That's what you earned. You don't tithe off of what I earned. You don't tithe off of what your parents. You tithe off of what you earned. You say, I didn't earn anything. Okay. But if you earned something. And then verse 10 says, so shall thy barns be filled with what? And thy presses shall burst out, not with old wine, but with new wine, with grape juice. You'll have plenty. Go to chapter 22 and verse 9. Still in Proverbs 22 and verse 9. Proverbs 22 and verse 9 says, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed." Bountiful giver is what he's talking about. Somebody who looks for opportunities to give, he's going to be blessed. "For he giveth of his bread to the poor." I'm saying it. Don't go to your neighbor and say, "Hey, so-and-so is starving down there. Let me take your bread to give to him." Give your own bread to him. It's over the top because we're not givers. We expect the government to take care of everybody that's poor and going through trouble. We need to take care. There are enough. Listen, the government cannot keep paying everybody's bills. We need to make it local again. We take care of our people here and worldwide. Christians give expectantly. God takes care of us. I read there in Malachi chapter 3 where it says, "The Lord will open the windows of heaven." Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke. In verse 38, God says, "I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing." You know, the only other time it talked about windows in heaven, anybody know where that was? When were the windows of heaven opened? In Noah's day. How much came out of them windows? A lot of water. So when God opens and instead of water coming out, blessings come out, I think it'll be more than you can imagine. Now, listen, don't you get this idea of I can't wait to be rich. You know, I've said it 1,000 times and I'll say it 1,000,000 times more. Would you rather have good health, a sane mind, a long life, saved kids, the same wife? No, maybe, yes. Would you rather have all the things that matter, or do you only want to have a few bob in your pocket that God's given you? I'd rather have the windows of heaven poured out that are important. Luke chapter 6. Oh, don't go there yet. Luke chapter 6 in verse 38. Looking at how when you give, you can expect God to take care of you. Verse 38, "Give, and it'll be given back unto you." But not just in the same manner. It says, "Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over." You know, you go to McDonald's or you go somewhere and you get a Coke. You ever notice all the foam that comes out? Can you imagine if they fill it up to the top of the foam and then hand it to you? What happens to it? The foam disappears and you got only 1/3 of a cup of Coke. You ever notice that? You know, you say, "Excuse me, fill it up, please." You want it up to the brim. I like cups of coffee that are filled to the brim. Give me these little demi-tasse things and I'll give them to the dolls. Those are for doll sets. I want a big cup, amen, a mug, right, Brother Dan? God says, You give, and God gives it, and he it's like flour, you know. You can pour it in, but you shake it, and all of a sudden it settles, and you put some more in. God gives. I mean, I'm talking about God. He gives, and it's pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and he gives through people. Shall men give unto your bosom? For with the same measure that ye meet, or you give, withal it shall be measured to you again. Give expectantly. When you give something, just realize it'll come back. Probably it's not going to come back through them. But God will take care of you. One last thing, and you need just to see this one point, we'll be finished. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2. We need to give consistently. 1, it says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so even so do ye." So he said, churches of Galatia need to do it. You got to do it. Verse 2, "Upon what day of the week?" The first day of the week. I'll give you one guess what day today is. The first day of the week. "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you," not those who are wealthy, "let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Now, I like that word, gatherings. It's a frantic gathering. It's like when you're the ice cream truck's coming. And it's playing Popeye, the Sailor Man. What a dumb song. Eating spinach and they want to buy ice cream. Anyway, the ice cream truck's coming and the kids go, I want ice cream. And you're like, man, I don't have any money. So you go to the you quickly go to the couch and you dump it over. And a few coins pop out and it says, there's 3 euros. You two go get an ice cream. That's frantic gathering. It's trying to find some quick money. You should not quickly, when you're coming into church, go, there's a green box. Oh, I got some money somewhere. Where's that money? Here, give me some money. That's no quick gatherings. You should have already set aside. You should have the check written. You should have the electronic funds transferred laid out. You should have everything done. You should have it already set out in an envelope so it's done. Did I just go over the head? We're talking about giving. It's called to have an organization. Do it every week, consistently. Everyone, give. You know, a lot of people will start. There are going to be some people, Brother Dan, this morning. I'm going to start giving. 3 weeks from now, they're going to go. They don't finish. Life will always take more and more of your time, more and more of your health, more and more of your money, unless you keep Jesus first. And keep him first. Every Sunday ought to be the day that you give your time. Amen. Just first day of the week, put it in. Praise God. It ought to be the day that you find out what projects are going on so you can have a part in it. You may need to buy new tires or new printer ink or new clothes and shoes, but it comes after you've given to the Lord. That's how Christians are. That's how we operate. Remember it said there in Haggai 1:6, it talked about holes. That you put it into a bag that has holes. You get home, you go, where'd all the money go? It's probably because you're tithing less and less. You made Jesus only worthy of leftovers. Give consistently. If there's anything I can teach these young men and John and help you parents out, is to get them consistent. To get them that when they make a decision and they give a promise and they set out to do something right, that they stay doing it. Amen. That's the one thing, that's why we try to move the kids up front so I can look them right in the eye. I can make them keep their word. Amen. Now I got to get you to keep your word. I got to get you to give. To be faithful at it. Let's wrap this thing up. Your challenge is this. Is there anybody in here glad that God started giving? Aren't you glad? What did he give us? He gave us our life. And Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that more abundant. He gave us eternal life. You know, he gives you and me every day. He gives us so many good and perfect gifts. You're beginning your day, the end of your day ought to be nothing but thanking God. Amen. You ought to wake up and go, I'm not dead. I got a job to do. Amen. Heart still beating. Amen. Kids still fighting. Amen. Amen. Good gifts. A challenge is to every Christian this morning. You're in 1 Corinthians. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Finish this up, verse 1. Tell you a little story from the Bible here about a couple of churches in Macedonia. We'll take our challenge from them and we'll be through. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. It's an older way of just saying we're trying to make you understand of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Macedonia is up north of Greece. It's a poor place. How that in a great trial of affliction, what? The abundance of their joy, it's kind of an opposite thing, and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Bunch of opposites in there. Great trial of affliction, yet they got a lot of joy. Deep poverty, and yet they're rich. For to their power, verse 3, I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. You need to put a star by that or a number one. The first thing that they were willing to do before they ever gave a penny, you know what they gave? Was themselves. The story is told actually of a young boy. He's probably about 11 or 12 years old. He'd come out to a Bible club and got saved. And he came to church for the first time. Had never been in a church kind of like this. And they were taking the offering there. And the pastor was saying, give unto the Lord. Give as you're giving unto the Lord. And he sat there and he looked at that thing and he looked at it and he held it. The guy was kind of trying to pass on by. Didn't know what he was going to do. He was going to take money from it or whatever. And the kid said, have you got a bigger one? And the usher looked at him and said, "No, son, this is all we got." He said, "I can't fit in that. Ooh. That kid got the message. He didn't have any money. He said, "I'd like to give myself." That's powerful. They said they gave first of them. They gave themselves. They were willing of themselves. Verse 4, praying us, begging us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Honestly, if somebody came up to you, Dan, somebody knows, finds out that, I don't know, you haven't eaten in a week. I don't know how they could tell. But they say, and somebody comes up and says, "Take your wife out to dinner. Here's 20 euros. And you know they haven't eaten in a week. How little would you feel? And Paul says, the Macedonian churches that had no money came and gave this gift for some people who were going through hard times down in Jerusalem. There was a famine down in Jerusalem. There was no entitlements. There was no government funds to take care of them. They were starving. And so the churches started taking up an offering. And this was the poorest of the poor churches. And they brought the offering to Paul. And Paul said, "No way. I can't take that from you." And they kept begging. And they were entreating, which is to beg that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They enjoyed it. And this they did, not as we hoped. We expected maybe just a few bob, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, he would also finish in you the same grace also. We sent Titus to come and get the gift from you. Very quickly, challenge every Christian to give yourself first to God. Do you know, when I got saved, I couldn't understand it, but God wanted me. Do you understand that? I mean, the only person on this planet that wanted me was my mother. Amen. And I found out God wanted me. So I just said, "All right, you got me." He said, basically in the Bible, "If you'll take me," Jesus says, "I'll take you." That's cool. I got the better benefit. Wouldn't you agree? Give yourself to the Lord. Give your sins to him. 31 years ago, I gave them all to him. I said, "I can't carry one of them. They're going to kill me." And he took them and he nailed them to the cross. And I've been free ever since. Give yourself to the Lord. Then start tithing. Say, start tithing. I mean, just start. You say, "You don't know how much? I'm really struggling." I know you are. Just like the rest of us. But you know what? It's a decision you make. It's not because you can. It's because you're a Christian. Thirdly, stay faithful. Stay faithful in giving, not inconsistent or spotty. Stay faithful in giving. That's how a church grows. Church doesn't grow because there are a few wealthy people giving all the money. You know how a church grows? Because everyone, every man, according as he purposes in his heart, not just a few, but all of us. Amen? Stay faithful in giving, and then start giving to some specific needs. Did you know we have several needs? We have about a dozen kids whose parents cannot afford to send them to youth camp. And I've talked to them. I don't have any money to give to them. You know what I'm doing? I'm going ahead and taking them. I don't know how we're going to afford it. We've used up most every penny we've got, paying our bills and getting everything. We're going to trust the Lord. But I'm going to look in your eyes, in yours, in yours. And I'm going to say this. Is there some people who can give to some specific needs so that we can take care of this? We just found out a couple more kids want to come. Amen. I'm not going to call up Enda Kenny. Amen. I'm looking at you. Give to some specific needs. Amen. Some of you are sitting back there and you haven't tithed one day in your Christian life. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. It's time to start tithing. We wouldn't have a problem. I'd be easy to be able to look in there and says, people have already given enough money so that we can take care of these people. Amen. But if you now look into your heart, your cold, hard heart, if you're not a tither, there's no joy in your heart. If you look at your heart and you say, "God, my heart's cold. I don't really care about other people going to youth camp. I don't care about whether this church pays its bills. I care." If your heart's hard, maybe you need to ask God for a new heart, for a soft heart. About others and about things that are never going to pay you back except God. Amen. Give us some specific needs. Why don't you pick up one of those envelopes, put 100 euros in there. Why don't you put 1,000 euros in? I wish I knew who you were. We got some specific needs. We've got an opportunity to go to the Ballincolly Shopping Center here in about 4 weeks. 26th, 27th, we're going to be in the Ballincolly Shopping Center handing New Testaments away to folks with our Bible display. Remember all of these Bibles we had up? They're letting us set up for free up there for 3 days. I want to hand a New Testament to everybody who comes and wants one. We purchased 50 of them. What were they, about €2 a piece or something, John? What were they? Something like that. I wish I could buy 300 more. Amen. Maybe you'd like to give towards that. You see, we do things to give away stuff. That's how we do it. Every year we have a business meeting. We show all the money we've given away as a church. But it starts with us individually. Amen. You'll never find another church like this. You know why it's so cool? Because God designed it that way. We got a summer Bible club coming up. Some of you need to volunteer. Some of you need to help us so that we can afford and make it really top of the line. We're doing it as best as we can, but we should do better. We could do better, amen? Give to some specific needs. Aren't you glad Jesus gave you your need? Let's stand, let's bow in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye.